We begin now, Olot, Perek Vav, and we're up to Mishnah Gimel. Wonderful. We've been talking about the question of where something is located vis-a-vis the din of Tumas Hameis. How about if something is Tuma that is embedded in a wall? So let's say there's a Kezias Ben Amet in a wall, and there's like a hole that goes through the wall. Is it metame the inside of the bayit or not? So the din is, it goes by mechza lemechza. In other words, if you've got the outside wall of a house, so half of it is facing outside and half of it is facing the house, so then it depends. If the tumah is mechetzio velifnim, if it's towards the inside of the house, then the whole inside of the house, meaning anything in the house, becomes tame because the mace is considered to be in the house. If it's outside of the house, then it would be tar. But for that same reason, if somebody's standing on top of the wall, directly above the Kezias Ben Amet, he will be tar. This is a very important point. Why is that? Because there is no din of Tuma Ritzutza in a house. So once we say that this Kezias Ben Amet is inside of the room of the house itself, then there's no way that it could be Tuma Ritzutza. So even if you're standing directly on top of it, you're not going to be Tame because it is in the room and therefore will not penetrate through the ceiling. So if it were really in the wall and you would be standing on top of the wall, then you'd be in trouble because then Tuma Ritzutza is simply Bokeh Ava'ole, Bokeh Ava'yored. And that's exactly what the implications of being in a room are. And so over here, there's two very important elements that this halakha is telling us. A, it's in the house, therefore everything in the house is tameh. And B, since it's in the house, if you're standing on the wall on top, you are tahar. Fantastic. Now, if it's in the other direction, if it's b'chetzer v'lechutz, then anything in the house is tahar. But if you're standing on top of it, then you're tameh. Because since over here, it hits the wall, it will penetrate all the way through the wall to the ceiling, through the roofing, and therefore you standing on the roof, you in fact will be tame. That's a tremendous difference. Now, how about if it's smack bang in the middle? It's mechza lemechza. So then if it's the same distance from either side, the din is that the house is tame, because it's considered to be in the house vis-a-vis the house, and the one on top is a machlokas. Rabbi Meir says it's considered to be both in the house and outside the house, if it's mechza mechza. And therefore, on the tzad, that it is outside of the house, if you're standing on top of the wall, then it will be tuma ritzutza and will affect you and you will become tame. Whereas the Chachamim say no. The determination that mechza al mechza is considered to be inside the house means ipso facto it will not be metame you on top of the wall. It's not that we're treating it lechumra in both directions. And Rabbi Yehuda Eimer, this whole thing is not so. We do not go according to mechza al mechza at all. The entire wall, even the part closest to the street, is all part of the bayit. And therefore, it's always, even if it's mamish towards the outside, it's always in the house, and therefore you're standing on the top, you're going to be tahar, and everything in the house is tameh, by definition. Now, how about if this house is not an outside wall? How about if this house is between, this wall, rather, is between two other houses or two rooms? Now the question is, where is the tuma located? Is it located in the house to the right, or is it located in the house of the room to the left? So then the din is the same. The bayit that is closest to the tuma is tameh, and the one that is closest to the taira is tar, because we consider it like we did in the outside wall. It's in the house or in the room to which it's closest to. How about if it's directly in between? So then both of them become tameh. Now, vice versa, if the tuma is inside one of the houses and you have your kelim inside of the wall, then which kelim are going to be mekabel tuma? The ones, it's the same exact thing in the inverse, kelim that are closer to the inside of the house where the tuma is, they're going to be mekabel tuma in the wall. and kalim that are towards the outside, away from the tuma, those will be tahor. And if it's mechza la mechza, then kalim in both of the houses are considered to be exposed to the tuma. Now, here's a fascinating situation. If you have a ceiling, now a ceiling, the question is, how do we view a ceiling? Is a ceiling part of the lower house, or is it the floor of the upper house? What is the most essential way to look at a piece of tuma that's embedded in the ceiling? So, the same. If it's a maziva that separates between the lower story and the upper story, and the tuma is embedded inside that thickness, so then if it's in the lower part, mechetzon vilamata, then everything in the house is tame. If it's mechetzon vilamala, then only the upper part is tame, but the lower part of the house remains tar, because it's considered to be in an oel hamet. And as we said, when something is in an oel hamet, so then it cannot be considered to be a tuma that's bokeh v'yored or bokeh v'ole, and it's always going to have the din of being in the room in which it is. It's not going to be tame outside of that room. So what about if it's in the middle, smack bang in the middle, and it's bichetza, it's mechza lemechza, so there too, it's in both. Okay, now how about in the opposite case? How about if there's kalim that are between the lower story and the upper story, and the tuma is either on the top or on the bottom, and there's kalim in the ceiling area? So then the halacha is, again, the ones that are closest, if it's bechetzer klapei hatuma, are tameim. The one that is further are not tameim. If it's the bechetzer klapei the tahira is tarim. How about Rabbi Yehuda in this case? Says Rabbi Yehuda, the deal is that a ceiling is always, by definition, going to be part of the upper story. We do not view it as being an essential part of the lower story. And since it's part of the upper story, so therefore the halacha is, if the mace is in the upper story, so then the kalim become tame. But if the mace is in the bottom floor, then they are considered to be tahar. So then, how about, this is a very yesodistic mission. How about in a case where the tuma is closely enclosed by a structure? Okay, what would that mean? Well, let's say you built your ceiling on roof beams. Now, these roof beams, you've got roof beam every couple of inches and so on, and you have tuma of a mace that are between these support beams of the roof. Now, beneath the roof, you have a little bit of sheetrock, or you have a little bit of tiach, very thin, and maybe even just cardboard, and it's just decorative. So it looks like you've got a nice ceiling if you look up from the downstairs, but in reality, this tuma is within a structure, and I don't care how thin that lower level is. So even if it's kiklipat hashum, I mean, you know, if you're using a piece of cardboard, it could be like really, really thin. And the deal is like this. If the place where the tuma is between the roof beams is essentially a tefach by a tefach by a tefach. So remember, a tefach cube is considered to be something that is a closed area for tuma. Or if it's a Pesach of a Tefach by a Tefach, then it's an open area and allows the Tuma out. Now, why is this important? Because if Tuma is completely sealed, remember we had this issue before when it comes to a house, where we're talking about the Sugya of Sof Tuma Letzeit. If a house is totally sealed, then one of the Shitas was that everything is Metame, not the openings. The whole house is Metame, because it's considered to be the equivalent of a Kever, which is satum. And the din of a kever satum is that it is metame mamish, like a mate. And therefore, we're saying the same thing would be true over here. Im yesh b'mokam atuma poteach tefach, so then everything becomes tame, because then you consider the entire thing to be a closed kever, and the kever per se is the source of the tuma. And there, it doesn't matter. Since the upper story is now an ohel over the grave being the floor, because it's directly above the mace. And if the lower story is directly under the kever being the ceiling, then everything obviously is going to be metame, because we look at it as if the mace himself is in that room. But let's say there is no tefach in there, so then we have tumah ritzutza. We don't have a kever. We have tumah ritzutza. And then the din is, ro'im et ha'tumah ki'ilu hu otem. We look at it as if it's ritzutz, as if it's squeezed. And therefore, it only goes up. And the tumah is going to spread up because tumah ritzutza doesn't go down in this case. Why? Because the plaster, or the cardboard that we said, keklipas hashum, that is a valid ohel, isn't it? It's part of a building, and a building prevents tumah from penetrating through it. Masha'inkin, the upper part, where it does not have the din of the building because it's within the tefach, over there the tumah penetrates and is metame the entire thing. Suppose there is no cardboard, and you can actually see between the roof beams, and you can look up and you could see the tumah that's there. So then, obviously, the din would be whether it has a tefach or whether it doesn't have a tefach. It makes absolutely no difference, because then it's certainly not a kever, because I could see it. The bayit is tameh, because there's nothing between the mace or the kezayis min ha-mace and the lower story. So then it's in that lower story. So you're saying, but it's so close to the floorboards of the upper story. Why is it not bokea? As we said before, once tumah is in a room, and that we said in the previous Mishnah, it's in the inside house, which is what it is over here. It's in the downstairs house. It is irrelevant where in the house it is or how close to the ceiling it is. It is not considered to be tumah ritzutzah in this big, gigantic room.